Welcome to the Broke Gun Boy Podcast.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for tuning in to the first episode of the Broke Gun Boy Podcast. We're going to go over a couple topics today, mostly some Second Amendment stuff. Then we might hit the relief bill that Congress just passed. And I'm not sure where today's going to take us on the show, but we'll figure it out and we'll just see how it goes. So I think we're going to start this episode off with a gun self-defense story to kind of help people understand why I'm such a supporter of the Second Amendment and why I think it's so important that people should take the time to learn to use a firearm and be able to carry one properly. So the news article I'm using, the interaction happened in a gas station in some place called Clinton Township. But a man comes into a convenience store and he asks for a couple of cartons of cigarettes. And when the clerk looked down, the man had a gun pointed at him, and the gun was a .22 small handgun. The clerk does the smart thing and he hands the robber the cash and the cigarettes. And while the robber is distracted, he drew his concealed handgun and fired at the robber. He hit him 6 times before he could get out the door. The robber was caught by police, which is a good thing. The cashier did have a concealed carry permit, and he's not facing any charges, which is something you always want to hear, especially when someone has to defend their own life. Now, while I don't really support the fact that you have to have a concealed carry permit in a lot of places to actually concealed carry, I think it's your natural human right to be able to carry a gun however you see fit on your person. You know, that should be part of the Second Amendment. But it is good for people to get concealed carry permits and be able to carry guns legally. And it's just an important thing to do that I think more people should really start doing. And for the second part, I think we're going to hit on some gun news from across the country, see what's going on, and see how this coronavirus has been impacting the Second Amendment community. So in the midst of all this coronavirus stuff going on, we've had the gun industry groups that are urging lawmakers to keep gun shops open. There have been several local laws that have allowed firearm stores to remain open. They're insisting that these are important as food and medical care. And after some police departments, such as the Cincinnati Police Department, have said they won't be responding to calls, you can't really argue with that claim. You've got gun industry groups that are engaged in an intense attempt to persuade state and federal lawmakers that gun shops should be considered essential businesses during the coronavirus crisis, and therefore allowed to remain open. And the National Shooting Sports Foundation, and that's one of the largest U.S. pro-gun ownership groups, to those that don't know that, they told their members that they have been in contact with the White House and Capitol Hill and the Department of Homeland Security to advocate for national critical infrastructure industry status. And in a statement to its members, the group also said, "We want you to know the National Shooting Sports Foundation is hard at work for you during the pandemic." And personally, I just kind of hope they're working harder than the NRA does. And Lawrence Keene, and I probably just butchered his name, so apologies in advance, the Senior Vice President for Government and Public Affairs for the organization, said in a letter to the Department of Homeland Security, "The critical infrastructure designation should be extended to the whole gun industry, including dealers and shooting ranges." He also wrote that food, water, shelter, and adequate medical care are paramount, I'm so sorry, I can't read, for survival, but so is the ability to defend yourself, your family, as well as your home, business, and property. And something that's really been interesting to watch is gun dealers have reported a surge in firearm sales. Background checks are up 300% on March 16th. Compared to the same day last year. In Florida, background checks were up nearly 500% last Friday alone, with 13,192 checks, compared to 2,646 on the same date last year. There have been lines forming outside of gun stores just to get in, and I'm really curious on how many of these gun purchases are actually being made by not just first-time gun purchasers, but people who are just straight-out anti-gun. Because that'd be actually kind of cool to figure out, because it's kind of weird that when the danger starts coming to you, then you decide to start defending yourself and your home and that gun ownership is actually important. But in Illinois, Governor Jay Pritzker, and I probably butchered that name again, declared that firearm and ammunition are essential and are allowed to stay open. However, of course, Dems are pushing back against that. Democrat Senator Richard Bumenthal argued that closing gun stores would be in line with other anti-coronavirus measures. Plain and simple, there is no reason gun stores should be allowed to stay open, and given that exemption, he said on Twitter. Of course, the politician with armed security would argue against us from being able to protect ourselves. The San Jose mayor, Sam Liccardo, said, "We don't live in the Wild West and that we have a well-functional police department, so there's no reason gun shops should be an essential service. But considering some police departments are no longer responding to calls and break-ins and assaults, and being able to protect yourself and your family has become more important than ever, especially since it's getting harder and harder to find affordable ammo online." Yeah, I'm looking at you cheaper than dirt, price gouging trash cans. But it's going to be near impossible to find ammo if the gun stores do shut down. So hopefully you guys were smart enough to put a good bit back, because I know I didn't. And I'm really curious as to when politicians are going to start using this as a reason to push gun control. I mean, we saw them push a narrative with the relief bill that they put out earlier, but we'll get to that later. But I'm curious as when they're going to start pushing a gun control motive to this. You know, are they just going to push small gun control restrictions, or are they going to straight up confiscate them in the name of public safety, since it is a state of emergency? But while some areas fight over whether or not gun stores are essential, we do have a pro 2A victory in West Virginia. West Virginian Governor Jim Justice signed a bill that will help prevent future infringements in the Second Amendment. Senate Bill 96 is a part of an effort to prevent anti-gun towns from passing anti-gun local laws that could restrict the right of the West Virginian citizens. The bill prevents any city government from making law limiting citizens' ability to carry, purchase, possess, transfer, own, transport, sell, or store any deadly weapons, firearms, pepper spray, or ammunition. And now we're going to transfer on over to what's going on with the coronavirus. But first, I have a message that I want to share with you guys. So if we take a quick look at the statistics, it shows that worldwide there is 720,658 cases with 33,926 deaths. And a number that's not reported on a lot is the recovered numbers at 150,920 worldwide. Now this week, the U.S. overpassed China in total numbers of reported cases. Now that reported number is important, because if you really think China is honest and forthcoming with the real numbers, you're crazy. But the U.S. is at 141,169 confirmed cases, 2,458 deaths, and 4,435 recoveries. So now that we went over those numbers, let's take a quick look at the relief bill. So last week we were hearing about Congress sending out a relief bill to Americans who were without an income, mostly because of the shutdown. At first we had a bipartisan bill that both Dems and Republicans worked together to push out, and since it, you know, it was an emergency. But before the bill could pass, old nasty Nancy Pelosi came back, and she wouldn't let the bill pass. She was saying it's just a bailout for big businesses, and, you know, don't get me wrong, it is, but what she proposed wasn't any better. It's actually worse. She was pushing for permanent UBI, permanent unemployment pay. She was also pushing for student loan forgiveness. All this proves it wasn't about taking care of Americans during a crisis, but pushing a socialist agenda, disguising it as an emergency relief. So on Friday, Congress was finally able to pass a relief bill. The bill was a $2 trillion relief package, and the package is going to provide hundreds of billions of dollars for small businesses, unemployment workers, healthcare providers, and just all the industries that were majorly affected by the pandemic. And among the major provisions, the package provides $1,200 for individual Americans plus $500 for each child, $367 billion in the low-cost loans to affected small businesses. It expands unemployment insurance by $250 billion while extending existing benefits by 13 weeks. The other thing it does is that one of the biggest problems is it gives $500 billion to backstop loans to big industries, like the airlines, the hotels, and the cruise companies. So it's basically like the automobile bailout of 2008. And another thing that was put into it that I'm not a big fan of, and it's kind of weird, it's that there's $100 million given to the National Endowment for the Arts, as well to the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. So weird things to add into a bill that's meant to be an emergency relief for working class Americans. And there's also a $350 million giveaway for migration and refugee assistance. There's also a part for NASA receiving $100 million so NASA can fight Corona in space, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I know it's so they can reschedule stuff, but I just want to choose to believe that it's NASA going to war with the coronavirus in space. But at least the government has also given PBS $75 million in the bill. That, I can only assume, is to keep Elmo and the rest of Sesame Street safe from the virus. Oh, and let's not forget the $25 million that's going towards congressional salary raises. So, once again, the taxpayer gets screwed over during the majority of this bill. That's basically nothing but wasteful, and it's abuse of power during a national emergency. So that's basically all I got to say for this episode, guys. You guys wanted me to keep it around 10 minutes, so that's what I tried to go with, a little bit over, but nothing too bad. If you guys stuck around this long, I really appreciate it. And just stick with me as we go through the progress of doing this, and I promise you it'll get better with each one that goes by, hopefully. But thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.